The current spoiler warning level is sunset.
Friends and folks, for this episode, you're looking at a spoiler warning level of sunset. So we start out talking about a machine from Mobile Suit Zeta Gundam, and that's, you know, pretty classic stuff. Shouldn't be a worry for anyone who's kept up with the Great Gundam project. But its variants, there are three of them. Well, four of them. Okay, four of them. One of them is from a SD Gundam spinoff thing that doesn't matter. So that's safe. And then we get two from Gundam Unicorn. So obviously, if you haven't seen Gundam Unicorn, that's a problem for you. And then we get one from Twilight Access, the ONA. So we have spoiler warnings at those points. Tap out then if you like. But either way, please enjoy the episode. Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to another episode of Mechanista in G. I have placed my final Gunpla order of the year, and now it's just waiting for it to show up. I'm Six Detmar.
I'm Dylan. Which one is it?
They got the MG Hizak back in stock at New Type.
Oh, nice.
And I'm a Hizak fan, as we all know. So.
Yeah. You should customize it into the Hobby Hizak. That would be a lot of work, actually, but...
And I don't like... I mean, I like the Hobby Hizak as a thing.
You just don't want it as something that you own.
It is a good thing to exist in the world. If I was in the world of Gundam, I would not want to have one.
It's funny right now because my brain's like, you know, I don't think I'm going to buy any more kits. I'm trying to be good. But the problem is they did just announce the Mercurius and V8 Suivant.
Yeah, I saw those.
And... the whole reason I had been ignoring the original releases of them is because I was hoping that these two would happen with all the G-Unit stuff. So even though the other ones have popped up like twice on P-Bandai, I was like, if I wait, maybe the... And part of me was like, they'll probably never do them, but hey, I'm not going to buy any kits, that means. But then they did them. And so now I'm like, well, fuck. Now I want them. You know, they're cool. They just double up what the normal ones do. We've talked about them. They're fucking cool. Also, I really like the color of the model for the Mercurius there that they went with.
I was just about to say, I don't like the color of the model for the Mercurius very much, but...
Oh, you don't like... I like the beige.
It's a good... It's kind of cream.
Or more like cream, yeah, than beige. It's...
I like it as a color. I just don't like...
where it reminds me of, like, electronics that my family had in the 90s that were probably white when they were bought, but slightly yellowed over time.
Huh. I feel like they yellow more than that, but I don't
know. Well, this is why it's the 90s. They've slightly yellowed.
Sure, sure.
There are ones where, my grandparents had a phone where it was a lot more extreme because the phone was, like, very, like, deep yellow, but I'm pretty sure that's not what its original color was either, but it's from like it's like an old 1982 phone that was really fancy. It had a little it had a directory you could write in on the top of it. Like, it had a little, like, you could pull the glass up and then it had like a bunch of little flippy papers that you could write the things on. It wasn't electronic, it was just you could write the names, but I'm assuming it was still fancy for the time.
Yeah, you're just a kid. That's not that weird to me. I had one of those for a long time.
My grandparents had it. What did I have? I had, like, some kind of... I think it was... Hold on. I don't actually know what company it was. It was a phone you held to your ear. It hurt my ear to talk on it for long hours.
Yeah, yeah.
It was wireless.
Ugh. Spoiled. We got wireless eventually, but I had wired for a long
time. My grandparents were the one that had the wired one. I actually preferred the wired one, though, because, one, I have brain issues, and my brain is just like, I need to be messing with something while I'm talking on the phone, so having the wire was nice, because then I would just, like, it was like one of those cords where, you know, it's got, like, the swirlies in it to keep it from tangling, even though the swirlies tangle even worse. It had one of those wires, though, so I used to just sit there and kind of pull on it while holding the phone, because I need to be moving or doing something because my brain's just like that. I like the wire phone. Plus, you didn't have to worry about it dying, was the other thing that I liked about it.
Yeah, that was nice.
Anyway, nostalgia for stupid old technology here on Mechanista. Let's talk about some future tech that is fictional future tech.
And possibly made some quite a while in the past, so we were still, in a way, being nostalgic about the past. Hooray!
Yeah, I guess that's true, in a way.
let's see what we're doing today. Oh, early UC.
Yep, well, high likelihood of what you just said, then.
Yeah, pretty decent. Let's see. Hey, that's my name. We are looking at the RX-160.
RX-160, that would be... That's a Titan suit, I'm just trying to remember which one. It's not... Okay, so RMS-141, that's Zeku Lines. RX... That's gotta be the Birlant, then.
It is the Birlant.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm like... Because in my head, I'm like, it's an RX, right. And the only RXs, I think, are, like, I know the Gaplay is RX-110. And then, like, yeah. At first, I was thinking maybe Barzum, and then I'm like, wait a minute, no, Barzum's RMS, because that's RMS-154. Let me double check that. I hate that I just know all these things. Yep, RMS-154. Anyway, the RX-160 Birlant. Great. I love this friend. I'm excited to talk about this. Piloted by the loser who should be dead.
Good news about how that goes for him.
Yeah, good news. Look, Yazan just was a little early with saying that. That's all.
He wasn't, though. He should have been dead by then. I agree with that, too.
that's fair. All right. So, the Birlant. This is a prototype mobile suit produced by... Is it actually made by the Titans? I believe it is. Yes, it is actually manufactured by the Titans, which is why it goes with the RX, right? And yeah, the Birlant is a weird late series mobile suit. It's a fun one. It's got a really weird shape. It's one of the ones done by Kazumi Fujita, who also did the Gaplay and stuff. He did a lot of the weirder Zeta era suits. And this one is no exception. So, starting with the head, so the funny thing about this is, in some ways, looking at the direct elements of this head, it almost has a Gundam head, in that it has a V-fin, you know, yellow V-fin on either side, swept back. It's got a forehead jewel camera, and, like, a forehead guard, like, it's a different color on the forehead area, you know, it's like a darker... What would you describe the colors of the original Birlant? I know on the model kit they're, like, more purple, but I think the artwork makes them even a bit more gray.
Yeah, I would say, like, sort of a grayish lilac is the base, and then there's some eggplant.
Yeah, it's like eggplant, but slightly desaturated or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've got, like, those are the two primary colors, but then you also have, like, yellow on the V-fins, yellow on... So the way the head is, it's almost got, like... Best way to describe it. Okay, so we've got the forehead guard with its own camera. You've got, like, a cool face. It's like a... It actually comes to a point at the bottom, like, you know, a chin. And it has, you know, between the forehead and the face down there, you've got the gap, which has a mono eye. On the sides of the head, though, sweeping back, it's like the cheeks almost have, like... Almost like a popped-up collar look to them. Like, they're popped up and going in an arc. And then underneath, they have a bunch of yellow, like, little pieces. It looks cool.
It's slightly evocative of, like, a snake's hood.
Yeah, almost like a cobra or something. It's pretty neat. Then for the torso, so, for the neck, you actually have a really thick neck piece on this, too, is the funny thing. Like, you can see a lot of pieces in the neck going on here, and it also has two giant green cables coming out of the neck, that link in through the front of the chest. The... Arms themselves are connected into, like, these blocks on the torso that are, like, it's really in the middle of the torso. You get, like, the, kind of that gray lilac color. And, like, that's the torso going down there, but on the front it almost has, like, it makes it look like the eggplant is almost like armor it's wearing on a smaller torso. You know what I mean? Like, it's a weird setup. Because you can see, like, there is clear... layers going on here. So on the front of the chest, though, you've got this big armor plate in that darker color. It's got some yellow on the top, and it's got some red vents in the side of it. And the two cables that are running from the neck actually seem to run down then from the middle of the chest down into the waist area. But it looks like it's just got like a giant like breastplate or something on, almost, is kind of how this looks.
It's a really strange look, actually.
Yeah.
I don't understand what the point of this thing is at all.
It's cool. For the arms, now this is where things get wild. So the shoulders, you can't even really describe these as the shoulders, because the arms themselves also have shoulders. So the pieces that plug into the torso, right, that are connected to the arms, you have giant jet engines, just absolutely huge jet engines that are pointed down. There are two giant thrusters pointing downward. You have like a big scoop on what looks like it would be like the armpit, but this isn't actually the shoulder, because if you look at the end of it, you can see the actual arm, and there's a whole arm there, you know? It's just like there's a giant spacer of a giant, like, set of jets between the arm and the torso. Though, of course, like on models, these are able to rotate, so it's almost just like it's an arm with an extra joint or something. It's cool. It's big. On the ends of the actual shoulders of the arm, you actually have these two downward thrusters. Just cool shapes. Obviously, the way they're designed, they look like they can, you know, spin around, move around, etc. This, by the way, is a high mobility machine, if it wasn't evident by all the thrusters all over this damn thing. The arms, though, are, you've got, like, the piece that is coming out of those, like, the giant torso pieces, the giant pieces connected to the torso, and you've got kind of, like, this short upper arm, and then you have another segment, which is the thing that's closest to an actual bicep that this has, which is just, like, some big beefy armor, and then you have the lower arm coming out of that, and, like, that big beefy bicep armor has, like, you know, big gap in the bottom, and you can see just, like, the arm popping out, like, the smaller arm. And the way the smaller arm is designed, it's got cables running, from the arm, like, you know, into the bicep, to, two green ones on either side. This is also where, it's got, like, these, like, red, sort of these red pieces over, it's not even, like, the wrist, like, just the upper forearm, I guess you would say. And then at the bottom, you have the hands, which are, like, these weird little three-finger hands, and they're, like, weird little bug hands. They're not...
Mm-hmm.
They're not, like, full-on manipulators. These are just, you know, weird little hands. They do have beam cannons inside of them. The other thing, and you can't really see it in the art, but it does have beam sabers in the part of the bicep that, you can see there's a gap in the bicep area, like, where the arm is connected into. It's on the outer part there, and it can just pop out
into the hands. The beam sabers are even high megas.
Are the beam sabers themselves also high mega cannons?
Or did I say beam sabers? I meant to say beam cannons. I apologize. No, the beam sabers are just beam sabers. But
yeah, the beam sabers are beam sabers, and then the hands themselves have the little cannons in them. And then, yeah, so you... But yeah, it's got these really weird little, like, three-finger hands. The waist... Now, this is where things start getting real weird on the shapes, which, I mean, it's already weird on the upper body. The waist is really odd, too, I think. And actually, more so the legs, but we'll talk about it. So... for the armor, the waist itself, you've got, like, the central crotch area, which has a giant, like, vent or thruster on the top of it, and then even more on, like, you know, little, like, slats on the bottom. You can still see more green cables along the bottom connecting into the back. It's got a little bit of, like, skirt armor, but it's not really skirt armor, it just protects the top of the thighs, basically. Because it does have thigh armor, but that's actually on the leg, not on the waist. And then on the back, you've got just a giant thruster pointing downward as well, or like kind of at an angle downward on the back of it. Then for the legs, the upper thigh, you, as mentioned, there's like a separate armor piece there. The legs have kind of a weird shape because they kind of make almost, not like a J or something, but like, they're not just straight, you know, they kind of like go forward a little. And this is accurate on the model. Like sometimes you see the legs in the art and the way that they're shaped, like it's like, okay, that's just the art. They're actually straight. No, these ones are swept forward a little bit, especially like when you get down to like the calves. So you do have separated knee armor. On the back of the legs, you got some visible frame and joint pieces, which is pretty cool. Just Double Zeta era them actually having that. The calf armor, though, you've got, like, a little bit of dark armor in the middle of it. The sides are normal. No real, like, visible thrusters or anything on the legs, surprisingly, just given this design being so thrust-heavy. As you go down, the part of the back of the calf where it's, like, swept, you can actually see some visible pistons, which I also really like. And then, as for the feet, you've got kind of, like, some big ankle armor on the top of the foot area, and it's still actually connected to the calf, like, the bottom of the calf. It's just weird because of the way it sweeps forward. Very pointy toes, and then on the sides of the feet, you've got, like, these two separate heel pieces that you can see. And there's also a middle heel, so it doesn't really have, like, high heels or anything, but it just has, like, a three-part heel going on. Like, one, like, tall middle piece, and then two little side pieces. And the side pieces have these little red thrusters on them. And then finally, the backpack. The backpack is basically just this big plum-colored piece. It's got, in the middle, it's got a bunch of little, like, vents. And then on either side, you've got these, like, rotating, rotatable big, like, scoop thrusters. Very tall and very thin, like, just a cool shape for them. And they're kind of triangular if you're looking at them from the side. With the base of the triangle, the widest part at the bottom being where the thruster, you know, visibly is, the big gap there. The Beerlint. This is a machine that flies through not anything elegant, but rather just pure force, I like.
And you look at this, and you look at the design of this with, like, strange legs and that weird backpack and the secondary shoulders with big, you know, vernier units. And, of course, these are all the classic signs of a transformable mobile suit. So what does the mobile armor look like, Dylan?
It doesn't.
Oh, no, okay.
This is just a weirdly shaped mobile suit, which I love about it.
Yeah, this is like a, this is one of this breed of design that, you know, is, it starts to die off after this, right? It is a type of
Zeta
design
Double
that
Zeta era for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, it obviously, I think, has its basis in, like, some of the aquatic designs of Zeon, right? Mm-hmm. And then you start to see these used more broadly in Zeta, and then there are some in Double Zeta, and then it sort of dies off for the most part. This idea of this, like, fully integrated mobile suit that is, like, has a custom-built frame and is, like, high mobility and has all of its weapons built into it. Yeah. Because eventually they're like, but why though?
Because it's
why don't we
cool.
just make it versatile? And that's the design logic that takes over going forward.
Yeah, but here's the problem. Then you hit CCA era, and as much as I like some CCA era suits and onward, I'm going to admit the grunts in mid tier suits get a little boring when they are all, okay, we have a shield with a built in weapon, we have a rifle, and we have a beam saber, and we all have these very set, very standardized equipment loadouts. It makes sense. I'm not saying it doesn't make sense.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just more boring.
For sure. You know, it turns out doing, like, the simple, most practical thing is very often kind of a boring thing to do. This period of, you know, like, great strides in mobile suit tech with a lot of ideas that end up being dead ends and stuff is really exciting.
Yep. So yeah, if we look at, like, the art, though, we've got, you know, there's a lot of little artwork that shows things like, you know, the way the cockpit hatch opens. I actually like the cockpit hatch because it's one of those, like, this is common in Zeta especially, but, like, kind of like the double layer thing going on. Like, the middle block pops up and then there's a secondary door, which, you know, makes sense. It makes sense to have the two doors. It's just I always like when you've got, like, a big armor piece over the cockpit like that.
Mm-hmm.
You get some shots of various angles of the head, though, and the, like, you know, arms and feet. I do like the art that's also showing how it draws the beam saber. Like, just the little grabby hand grabbing it after it pops out.
Yeah, having to grab it out of the opposite arm, because it can't really pop it into its own hand.
Mm-hmm. And of course, because this is Double Zeta, this is, I mentioned, like, how there's, you know, the visible, like, parts on the joints, which is, like, I was, like, mentioning that because, you know, 007.
This is single Zeta.
Yeah, sorry, single Zeta. Yeah. my brain always just keeps wanting to say double Zeta. But with Zeta era suits, though. And, of course, we also get a very greebly scene of it in Kilimanjaro also.
See, that's why you want to say double Zeta. This shot is very double Zeta.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? Like, when I think of, like, the Turbo Greebles, you get some of that in Zeta, but double Zeta does a lot of it.
Uh-huh.
In the animation. It's just really cool. It's just a cool suit to me. It doesn't really have a lot that it can do, because it just has a strong beam cannon in either hand, and then the beam saber. And then other than that, it achieves flight through brute force. That's my favorite thing about it. It's just, rather than like, oh, I transform into a more aerodynamic shape and try to keep myself in the air. No, I have a bunch of thrusters that are pointing down, and they're going to fire downward, and I am going to fly that way. You know, I am going to fly in a similar manner as a helicopter. Probably less dangerous than a helicopter, honestly, but, you know. It's because helicopters are horrible machines, though, generally. Anyway.
It's kind of funny, like, so originally when this is fielded by Jared, it is not quite done, and he takes it and flies off. And, you know, at that time, you know, it's got the beam sabers and the two megaparticle cannons, and you're like, okay, go back, you know, finish this thing up. Seems like they didn't really do anything. I was like, you know, oh, obviously when you finish this, you're going to add, like, Vulcans or maybe some missiles. Or No, it was done.
I mean, Jared already laid claim on it. They're not going to invest more money in it.
That's true. They're like, oh, Jared likes this. All right, send it out to die.
If I remember right. Or well, they, it gets damaged. But they make
more.
What?
They make more of them, though.
They do make more of them. Which, there are variants we'll have to talk about, but first, the first variant to talk about, because this one does not require any warnings, would actually be the RX-160X apparatus from G-Strategy, which is a great Hobby name. Japan game book.
Mecha named apparatus? That rules. That's sick.
This is a game book that I am actually always looking for scans from for years and years now. I used to find a lot of, like, old Japanese Yahoo, like, you know, websites, like personal websites or, like, GeoCities sites, where people would talk about their characters. They had artwork and stuff, but no one uploaded, like, pictures of the book. But even if it's all SD art, I love this. Like, it is actually not all SD art, because real quick, I'm going to show you something from this book, just because it's, like, one of the few times G-Strategy is going to get brought up, and, you know, it's just something that's, like, some interesting ephemera, because, you know, you don't really get, like, Gundam tabletop Japan-only role-playing games as produced by a model magazine with a lot of official designs, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like, other designs from it, though, include, you actually get, like, some big art. Like, check out this Quin Mantha that is painted in Hamon colors. Or...
Yeah, that's cool.
A double Zeta for Amuro, which is painted in, like, standard tricolors instead of the double Zeta style ones. Like, it's got, like, more simplified tricolors, which I think is kind of fun. Trying to look more like the first Gundam. Or, like, these ridiculous Barzams and Marisai's with, like, I don't even know what to call that camo. Just weird tiger stripe.
It's tiger stripe camo. And it's the sincere tiger stripe, not the grass style.
Yeah. And, you know, other weird machines from there, like this page. But anyway, so I'm always trying to find more about this book, because there's always, like, there's a lot of these, like, cute little illustrations, but they're hard to find, sadly. Anyway, well,
searching for more art of the apparatus here, I found this little design, which is obviously a fan work, because it is, what if a Compfer was an Epion and also a Tallgeese?
It's pretty cool.
It's a little much, but it is pretty cool.
I mean, look, it can be both. Anyway, the apparatus, though. So this is a Beerlant that is using a quasi-Seikomu system. It only adds one new set of weapons. On the back of it, it has two additional megaparticle cannons that are actually controlled via, or mega launchers, I should say, controlled via a wire.
Oh, is that, they look kind of Gapfly-esque.
Yeah, kind of. But they do pop off and are wire controlled, which is cool. Other things that are added to this design, it does change some elements. Like, if you look at the chest, it actually adds, like, what look like to me maybe cameras, which would make sense given, you know, this has wired weapons and stuff. And the shoulders have kind of a different design. You've got, like, or, like, the the part of the arm connecting into the torso, the big shoulder, I should say, has like two additional thrusters on the end. And then the arms actually have like Zeong style thrusters around the bicep, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I guess the hands are wired too.
Yeah, and then can't really see the tail there, but it looks like the tail has some additional design points, but you know, it's a frontal image. And then the knees are a bit pointier and stuff like that. I mean, it's an SD illustration, but it's cute. And I like the ideas of the changes on this design. I'm just sad, again, there's not a lot of art of stuff like this. But
the tail, what we can see of it, looks like a Cubely.
It almost looks like Cubely tail, yeah. It's pretty cool. I wish we could see more of it, but unfortunately not. But yeah, and that's the one that's safe. And now we're going to have to do a spoiler warning for the rest of the episode because we've got machines from two future UC works.
Yes, we do.
After this point, we're going to be talking about two machines from Gundam Unicorn.
Do we want to do them in IRL chronological order? Because I think more people are likely to have seen Unicorn than Twilight Axis. Or should we just do the Twilight Axis because it's... Okay.
I don't really... It's fine. Either way.
Yep. Actually, you know what? It is best to do the Twilight Axis one last because there's some interesting stuff going on with it that's informed by the Beerlink Custom. So we'll talk about the Beerlink Custom. This is from Gundam Unicorn. This is an interesting machine. So this appears in Episode 4 of Gundam Unicorn. I'm curious if this appeared in the original novel, because I don't know for sure if it did. You know, this mentions in the novel / OVA series, but usually when we have artwork for, like, you know, the novel designs, we'll have both artwork of the novel design and artwork of the OVA design, whereas here we only have the OVA design.
Yeah,
and actually,
MAHQ, which I trust more, lists it specifically as being the anime.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm looking on MAHQ just in case, because they would list it also, and, yeah, let me see if I can find the, just in case, I'm gonna find the Unicorn novel section, yeah, there it is, and let's see if there's also a Beerlink Custom entry in here. Nope, Beerlink Custom seems to be anime only, cool.
I mean, this is a classic. Like, I mean, I know there are some of these in the novel, but as, you know, as this is evidence of, the anime loves to go above and beyond with just like, and here's a weird guy. Here's something for the model builders to get excited about. Just sort of doing that every now and then.
Yep. Because the Beerlink Custom is a weird machine in that it is piloted by someone whose name is Robin Diaz, but we don't know who they are originally. It's just in the movie, a cool Beerlint is fighting some of the Zeon forces in Torrington and kicking the shit out of them, and it's just like, we don't see who's piloting it, it's just like, the Federation has one ace on the base as we watch all these other gems and stuff get killed, generally.
Apparently he's a former Titan.
Oh, wonderful. Great.
Well, actually, that is really sick. Because, so this is details added from, the two manga adaptations, The Noble Shroud and The Truth of EFF. Mm-hmm. He's a mechanic. He's a Titans pilot who, when he gets reassigned to the Federation, he gets demoted to mechanic. But they know he's good, so they still need him when shit gets tough. If he were not a fucking fascist, that would be really sick.
Yeah. So, this is, the Beerlink Custom is an interesting machine. So, if we look at the head, it's a pretty similar head design, but we've normalized some elements of this. The V-fins are a little bit more linear. They're not as curvy, you know. They're
more antenna-like now.
Yeah. And then the face, obviously, no mono eye. When we actually see a close-up of the face, it has almost the gem-style face going on, where it's got, like, a central eye, and then also two, like, small, like, two, you know, almost Gundam-like eyes.
Behind like, a screen. Close-up. Yeah.
So it's got like the standard Federation like gem face underneath it, but then the torso is pretty similar to the original Beerlint. Same with these arm pieces connected there. There are some slight detail differences, and if I remember right, actually the model's more different than you would think. Is one of those ones where you're like, oh, they would have just remolded a lot of this. It actually took them a long time to do the Zeta Beerlint, And it's actually a lot more original pieces than you would think. So the shoulders, though, are larger, is one element to talk about. Like, the thrusters that are, like, rotatable on the outer shoulders, they are larger in design. And this is not just, like, an artwork thing. Like, if we look at both designs side by side, they have a different design.
I mean, they're way larger.
They're really big. One thing I should note that I know is different. So you know how on the little scoops on the underarms there, if I'm remembering correctly, the red on the one on the left is stickers, and on the right, it's actually a piece for the thing. So that's what, you know, 10 years of difference gets you in HG, or like 8 years, however long it was. But yeah, so other differences, though. Once you get down the arms, the upper arms have actually shrunk a little bit. They're, instead of being, like, almost two whole sections, it's actually just one big bicep, you know? Mm-hmm. Though, actually, looking at the high grade, it's funny, because the high grade of the original Beerlint does that, too, a little bit. It makes the upper arm section not as arm-like. They use the same kind of piece there, basically, which is just kind of interesting, because that's not how it looks on the original art. Anyway... So the upper arm is thinned a little, and then the lower arm, though, is, it's a lot weirder, because, okay, so, you've got a tiny arm coming out of the bottom of this arm, and you can see there are green cables connecting from the bicep into this, that ends in, like, a little, how to describe it, it's a megaparticle cannon, but it actually is able to do different modes of fire, like, it can fire, like, a rapid fire gun, or even, like, it almost has, like, a shotgun effect because of how fast it's firing the beams, you know? It tends to spray them out.
It looks like, and I'm pretty sure this is the case, that it is the original Beerlint arm with the hand stripped away.
Yeah, I could see that. Just the style of the beam output is done, like, a little different.
Sure. I mean, I would assume it has a new generator, given all the new shit they gave it.
Yeah. But yeah, that's basically like, yeah, the original hand. But then on the, if you look on the elbow there of the little arm, very obviously there's a much larger arm there going down.
From the Gapflay.
Yeah, they just end in little claws and they're like the Gapflay's legs almost, but turn into arms. Which actually, yeah, it does say that they are the Gapflay's, huh? I never even knew that. I knew that they were like the Gapflay's, but...
I mean, the whole point of this machine is it's supposed to be, it and the other Beerlint custom we'll talk about are supposed to be, like, Titans machines, like, hybrids. I think they call them chimeras.
Yeah. The funny thing about this, too, though, is that these little claws are not even, like, I mean, they can be used for combat, but we don't actually see them used that way in the anime, because the beam sabers are also in the megaparticle guns now, so now it can just, you know, generate a beam saber out of them. When it tends to attack, it's actually attacking using the little arm. The claws are just there to look cool, basically.
So what are those? Does it have two, are those the two beam sabers next to it?
No.
Does it have the beam? What are those?
The beams, those are nothing.
Those are nothing?
Yes, those are nothing.
You're sure?
Yes, look at the weapon section.
What?
Yeah.
Katoki? What?
Yeah, no. Because the beam sabers are located in the megaparticle guns. So, they just pop out of the arms there. You can see it in the one shot against the Zizulu there.
I thought...
Or
the whole point
the
of this was to have more weapons, and it doesn't. It has, you know, they're better, but...
Nope, what? They're just better weapons. It doesn't have more, though.
Why?
Other than, I guess, the claws.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. So, as you go down to the legs, though, we get not really much changes on the legs. You got, like, if you're looking at the models, you can see the design is different. Like, it's a little bit more flat on the top of the leg, like, for the armor there. Mm-hmm. Whereas it's more rounded on the original Beerlint. And, like, the thigh armor has slightly different details. It's got, like, a little divot in it, as opposed to just the clean armor plates of the original. Only other real big change is when you get to the lower legs, the ankle armor has changed a decent bit, it's got more ankle armor on the outer parts of the ankles, and then on the feet are now, like, sectioned, almost.
The back part of it, the heel, is a Boundock heel.
Oh, is that what that is? Okay. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Yeah, it's got, like, two little heel claws, which, yeah, that's like the Boundock, huh. Oh, and then also on the back of the legs, one other major change is we do add a thigh thruster, which we'll say I'm okay with, because I'm surprised the original doesn't have a thruster on the leg. Final change is when we get to the backpack. The backpack is the same design other than on the outside of the backpack. There are two external propellant tanks that have rockets on the bottom of them as well, like two extra thrusters. Which I actually really like the look of the propellant tank backpack, personally.
Yeah, it's cool.
The Beerland Custom's pretty cool, though. A lot of people really... I mean, it did exactly what you said. When people saw episode 4, they're like, fuck, that's a cool machine. Why didn't we get any details about it or anything?
I really love the background detail that this design... Like, basically, the request was submitted to do this conversion. And it was short one change. And the Federation HQ was like, no, we will approve this project if you give it a gym visor.
I mean, that's the funniest thing, right? Is they were like, this is, in a way, trying to erase their own past, right? Oh, well, the Titans used mono-eye machines, and even though this is made of a bunch of Titans machines, we have to make it look like it's not a Titan machine, because Titans are bad, and we're not the Titans, right? Even though we're the Federation, and we are the Titans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is pretty funny. It is definitely, like, yeah, them trying to erase the past there. Which, of course, there is a later version of this from Gundam Unicorn Bandai Destiné. It also appears in Unicorn MSV, as well as in the one of the manga you mentioned, Noble Shroud. The Beerlint Custom 02. This is an even further weird Beerlint Custom. So, the basic design stays the same for the head, the torso, parts of the arms, and the legs. Where it gets different are... The lower arms, instead of being beam cannons, it's actually given hands, which weirds me the fuck out. Given the design of the arm there, it does look similar to the Gaplay, which would make sense, because instead of having the claw arms now, attached to the claw arm pieces are two shield binders with beam cannons sticking out of them, which is similar in idea to, like, the Gaplant, though the shield parts are very much smaller. It's mostly gun for the long rifles and the arms. And of course, those can also be used as beam sabers. Finally, the other change is on the backpack. The entire backpack, we remove the thrusters altogether and, like, the propellant tanks, and in the side slots of the backpack, we put in two beam cannons that are also thrusters. Like, these backbinders have thrusters on the back and also beam cannons. Which, these are pretty cool. So, you're... This one is, in fact, arming it up more and getting rid of some of the mobility by arming it up a bit. Mostly with long-range cannons. Also, the colors on it are... I guess we didn't mention the colors on the Beerlint Custom. The Beerlint Custom is, like... It still has that dark plum color, but it's more of a light blue on the lighter armor. This one is actually, like, white and blue, basically. Or like a dark, or a really light gray, because you can see, like, the thrusters are actually the part painted white. That's piloted by Beer Quatrime. Quatrime? Quatrime? I don't know.
I don't know.
Quatrime. It's a weird name. But yeah, so, this version of the Beerlint Custom, though, is, yeah, it's got long rifles. And it's got beam cannons on the back. It's just, it's a more beamy version of it. The other addition it does is it can connect the, into the tail unit, I believe. It connects the Gaplant's thruster. Probably because it removes a lot of thrusters, so it's like, oh, well, we'll just give it an external thing that will allow it to fly for a little bit. The cool thing is when the thruster is equipped, it actually... The arm binders can turn inward and kind of, like, connect to one another. So it almost forms, like, a pseudo MA mode that you can see there. Where it just has all the beams pointed forward and all the thrusters pointed back. That's kind of neat. Oh, I should mention the shields do have anti-beam coating, and the whole point of them is also to reduce air resistance, so that's why it does that. There's also a second one in Ride's colors. The Ride one is colored kind of... It's kind of like the Delta Plus's colors, almost.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, like, dark blue and gray. I like these. These are pretty cool, actually. They are neat little, like, upgraded versions. I feel like they would suffer in close range combat a bit because, you know, the two beam cannons on the back are probably awkward to aim up close. And then also the arm beam guns, they're quite long. So even though they can emit a beam saber, I feel like this would actually be more of a long range machine than a close range machine.
Yeah, I actually don't like this. I want to, but I think it's just like, despite like its clean lines, but I think, like, silhouette and, like, the way it's laid out is too messy.
That's fair. Like I said, I like it in idea. It's just when I think about it too much, it's like, I don't know if this is really that much of an upgrade because, you know, it just doesn't do as cool stuff. It doesn't even, they don't even give it a beam saber, which is funny because they gave it normal arms. So you would think they would pass it a beam saber or something, but it's like, no, you have beam sabers in the giant-ass rifles. And it's like, well, but what if they're closer than that?
Then you die.
Then don't let them get closer than that.
Use your big engines. Get away.
But, yeah. So, all right. Next up, we have the weirder one from Twilight Axis. The Beerlint Isolde.
And after this, we're talking about a single variant from Twilight Axis.
I like this one a lot, because this one's a kind of a best of both worlds one to me, because, okay, so, this design is actually mostly based on the original Beerlint, for most of it, but the parts it does change are the parts that I mentioned liking from the Beerlint custom. So it's got, you know, like, the main unique feature it has is the head. The head is almost a Gundam head now. Which, like I said, it kind of had a parallel to a Gundam head before. Like, an evil Gundam head is kind of the idea I thought that they had. This is just a Gundam head they gave it. They gave it, like, the red chin. It's got two eyes. It's got, you know, the V-fin looks more, even more like a V-fin. Just because of the way they did this. I think this is a neat head. Just because, you know, sometimes making a weird-looking Gundam head is fun. But yeah, the torso is basically the torso, I believe, from the original Beerlint, though I'm gonna pull up a comparison just because I want to see them all next to each other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's more helpful than having to swap between three sets of line art, because this is definitely, like, almost a kit bash machine is what it feels like in some ways, you know? I just need to find where Dalong categorizes, Twilight Axis stuff, because I'm looking through his P Bandai section, but it's hard to find. You know what? Let's switch it to English. Beerlint.
The chest looks.
Oh,
a
he
lot.
Doesn't have it.
I'm looking at the GBO2 model of it, and
the chest looks
is...
like it's a little pointier, actually, on the side armor bits, right?
But in the GBO2 version, it looks like it's like actually integrated, as opposed to having this weird breastplate thickly strapped on top.
I'm gonna try to see real quick. I'm gonna check one other model resource real fast, because I think Schizophonic might have it. He has the Beerlint O2s.
But, like, look at this model as in 3D model. Look at the chest on that.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's very different.
Okay, here we go. Okay, so he at the very least compared it to the Beerlint custom. Oh, right, because I think the Beerlint Isolde as a model, just fun fact, came out before the Zeta Beerlint came out. Yeah, so if I find his review of the Zeta Beerlint, maybe he has all three of them, because that would be perfect for our purposes.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, these are weird machines, and like I said, they're also, all three of them are drawn by different artists, so... Okay, well, he doesn't have all three of them next to each other, but he has... Okay, so... here we go. We have kind of almost all of them next to each other here.
Okay, yeah, we have the Isolde next to the custom, and then the Isolde next to the regular Berylyn, and so we could kind of do the work.
So, okay. The, like I mentioned, the head is basically turning the Berylyn head into a Gundam head. The arm section, okay, so they did do the chest the same way as the high grade. Okay, so the chests are the same as far as the models are concerned, in terms of design. The shoulders, you have the larger shoulders, like, you know, thrusters from the Berylyn custom, which, again, I like those, so I'm okay with that. But the arms are the original Berylyn arms, complete with the three-finger hands at the end. The thighs have the flatter armor from the Berylyn custom, and then the more detailed, like, side of the thigh armor. It's basically got the Berylyn custom legs up until you get to the feet, where the feet and the ankle armor are from the original Berylyn, but it still has the back thruster from the Berylyn custom. So, and then the backpack is the Berylyn customs one with the two propellant tanks. So, like I said, for me, this is basically the best of both worlds, you know? Because it has all the elements of the custom I like, while having the elements of the original I like, which is to say it has the, you know, the arms from the original, because I think the arms from the original are my favorite part of the original.
I think I like the custom one the best.
Really?
Okay. I like the janky arm look. I think it's fun.
I don't like those claws as much just because I think the three-finger ones are cooler.
Well, this is also three fingers.
It is, but they're not like three little weird buggy fingers. They're three just giant claws, which, like I said, yeah, I mean, it's
I've killed the Masamune Shiro in my brain. I'm okay. I'm free of needing that.
Oh, see, I associate that more with Kondo, but
that's fair. That's fair.
And I like the little hands like that on the Kondo designs personally. I also really like the head because while it's a little hard to make out in the art for the Isolde, it does, even though it has Gundam eyes, it has a visor too. Like, it has, like, a pink visor going all around, which I think is a cool look. Plus, I think I just like the colors because, it's cool looking because it's, you know, it's pink. I think it just looks neat because it's pink, admittedly.
Sure.
But yeah, I think this is a cool looking machine. You know what it looks like to me, though, especially, like, when you see, like, the head details in the anime? It looks almost like a 00 design to me, like, especially, like, in this shot here. I don't know why, it just looks like it would be a 00 machine to me.
It looks more, to me, it looks more like a art of like a GBO2 from a game. Yeah, I don't see the 00 as much.
Fair enough. But yeah, I just think this machine's cool. I like it, personally. But, like I said, it's, for me, I like it because it's mixing all the elements I like of both suits. On top of also having the weird head. Also, I will say the novel art is a lot better, IMO. I like that novel art a lot. I like the artist for the novel. I think the anime art... NT and Twilight Axis and stuff have really weird-looking sete art to me, personally. I think the mobile suits always look kind of, like, lumpier in them.
Yeah.
It's really weird. And it's weird because, like, Unicorn's art sete were done by Hajime Katoki. I don't know who did NT or Twilight Axis. I know originally you had some Katoki art for the animated adaptations, and then they switched it to that other art, and I don't know who handled it. I just don't like the style of it as much. And I don't know if that's the artist's fault. It might just be because, you know, we've talked about it before. Sometimes sete just lose details by virtue of they've got to be for animation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's... I don't know if I would blame the artist for the sete, like the original artist. I don't know who handled them. I just know that, like, the novel art, though, of the Berylyn Isolde looks a lot cooler to me than the art that they used for the ONA.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway... but that about does it for all the Berylyn versions, right? Like,
yeah, that's pretty much it.
Somehow, sometimes you find things that aren't on the wiki. But yeah, no. That's it. That's the Beerlint. Like you mentioned kind of earlier, you know, a lot of dead-end machines because they're so weird that it's honestly a miracle when they do get referenced, just because they feel like dead-end machines, right? Like, okay, this yeah. does what it's supposed to do. By changing it, you may as well just make a new machine.
I guess if there's one thing you can mention, I think we've already covered it, but you can mention that this all stems from the Hazel Custom Icarus, but, you know.
Yeah. We talked about that, though.
Yeah, we did. But just to say it out loud, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which is cooler than all of these.
Yep. That's fair.
But what can you do? What can that's you do?
Fair. I wish they would do a model of it, but they won't.
Yeah. Well, sometimes maybe. Advanced Zeta just gets its, you know.
Anyway. Alright, Six, where can people find you online? Or
well,
actually anything before that.
Let's just do a quick check-in with our partners over at MAHQ, right?
Yep.
It's been a little while. So been porting over a lot of stuff from the old site, right? We got a bunch of like 00 stuff. We've got Kukuru's Doan is all up on there now, and you know, Char's Deleted Affair, Maxi
well,
Boost.
I say but I like the designs from Char's Deleted Affair, to be fair. It's Junya Ishigaki. I can't not like, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna dislike the designs. The manga is trash, by the way, though. It, just so everyone knows, where I stand on that. The manga is garbage.
Yeah.
But the designs. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, a lot of stuff getting ported over, and the next episode of Gundam at MAHQ. This episode is going up for us tomorrow, the 30th. We're recording this on the 29th, and Gundam at MAHQ is 10 p.m. On Eastern on Thursday, December the 1st. So you can, if you hear this on the day it's posted, you can still catch that live. And if you don't catch it live, you can catch it archived.
Trying to make that rhyme, I see.
That's, you know, sometimes archived. These things just happen.
Emphasis. Syllable. Anyway.
Also, happy 30th anniversary to Gundam NT, I guess.
Wait, what?
Happy or not 30th anniversary.
Yeah, I was like, hold the fucking phone. Hold on
sorry,
a second.
Sorry, 4th anniversary. Wow.
Okay, that makes more sense. I was going to say, my that was hitting my brain, and I'm like, no. That's not how much time has passed. That's not right at all.
I need to take the Gundam 30th logo and just add an NT to it.
Just absolutely like breaking my brain. Like I say, it was like hitting me. I'm like, no, it's not been that long. There's no, it couldn't be true. But there's that moment of doubt in my head because I don't know.
COVID stole a lot from all of us.
Time, please. All right. But, anyway, so yeah. Six, your work and your social media and all that, where can they be found?
So you can find me on Twitter at SixDetmar, SixDetmar. I've got a DMs open there, so you can find out, whatever. Just send me questions, send me
you
listener
fuck
requests,
and find out.
Both of these are permitted.
I
if you do a certain amount of fucking around, I will just report you. But that's mostly people who are like, "Do you want to work for Amazon?" And I'm like, "How are there so many of you fuckers?"
Yeah, I'm glad I have my DMs closed personally because I've been hearing that. For the past few weeks, I've seen more than one person on my timeline complain about getting extra weird DMs from random accounts lately.
Yeah, you know, that's the cost of doing business. I accept it. But it is annoying sometimes.
Yep. You can find me on Twitter at LowPolyRobot. You can also find me mostly posting on co-host at LowPolyRobot as well. I haven't really been using either site a lot. I've been mostly free from, like, just being online, mostly because I've been distracting myself with Pokemon and just other games, so I've mostly been away from social media, luckily. Been enjoying it.
Yeah, and this show and a lot of other shows can be found at scanlinemedia.com and patreon.com/scanlinemedia because we're the Scanline Media Network. Welcome to it.
That's my other thing is I've just been listening to podcasts nonstop. Basically, I stopped my hell crunch like work week that I had that ended at the end of October, and ever since then I've just been, now I'm like, what do I do? Because now I've got a few months until I have to start that work again, and now I'm just like, oh, I actually have some free time, and I also need to be careful about spending money, because I don't make more money until that work starts again, so...
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, they overworked the fuck out of me for a little while, and, I mean, not luckily, no, don't accept that from your people, from your job people. I do it because I need the money, but, you know, generally you shouldn't accept that. That's fine. I don't know. Look, they're not gonna, work. No way to not talk about work and not be depressed about it, so we're going to shift topics.
Let's close out, you know, this is the beer, let's close out with a Jared Messick quote.
Oh yeah, that's not depressed, that's not any less, or any more depressing or, you know, sad.
I'm a true Gundam Dynasty warrior.
No, that's not... They all say that. Everyone says that in that game if you beat it that mode with them. You cannot use that.